Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mussil ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trent Brower. The former blockup has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. We are broadcasting live from Maggie O'Brien's in South County, and this is a great place for lunch. They're cooking up that homemade potato salad, their corned beef's out of sight. The soup, oh, they have a great ham soup here, too. Come on by. We're going to be here till, is it 1 o'clock today? Is that correct? Oh, 3 o'clock today. Great. As we're going to be talking Blues
and
hockey.
Cam will be here from 6 to 7.
Cam Jansen will be here 6 to 7. All right, there's no better guest for us today than a guy whose name is Dan O'Neill, broadcasting live from Maggie O'Brien's. And after a big Blues loss, Dan is not only a writer and an author, he is a singer. Take a listen to this hit song.
Through all the years and all the names, through miracles and six gold games, we bleed blue, and that will never stop. But this time we're not giving in to Bobby Orr or Eisenman. This time we're gonna hear that champagne pop. We want the cup, Lord Stanley's cup. We want our names engraved. We want our own parade. We're not giving up. Cup. It will be worth the wait when we can celebrate.
Very nice.
That's nice.
Very nice. Now, how many people were involved in that?
Well, first of all, that's not me singing. That's
really?
Actually
it sounded like you.
No, well.
You on the guitar? What's your role?
I'm playing guitar on that one, yeah.
Oh, is there an official band name?
That band was called Sudden Death Over Time, four words.
Sudden Death Over Time. And how many people were in that to put that together?
Let's see. It was me. My brother Mike is on drums. That's John Ferber, who's a tremendous guitarist on lead vocal. Because he was the only one who could even take a shot at that. Vince Corkery's on bass, and I don't remember.
So there's you got
there
four
about
there.
Five.
Five.
Yeah.
Very nice. And that you did that how many
Larry's
years ago?
On guitar.
When did you do that?
We did that last year.
Oh, last year.
Yeah.
What, playoffless year?
Yeah. I thought it would be a big hit, but sales have been a little bit slow.
It's actually got a nice beat to it. It's very nice.
Well, I also wrote the song and wrote the lyrics.
I could tell. No, it's very well written, too.
Oh, yes.
We have a lot to discuss. Just when you turn off the TV last night, your takeaway, your first takeaway from Game 2 in San Jose was what?
Well, I think anybody who's paid attention to the Blues has to be constantly not surprised, but taken aback, I think, by their resilience. I mean, it's incredible to give up the two goals they gave up. You know, they really were, for the most part, getting outplayed and took a 2-0 lead, probably at that point had about four shots on goal and had two goals. And then to give up, take a 2-0 lead, and a few seconds, very short time later, get a power play. You know, things are looking really good. Then they give up a just a terrible shorthanded goal. And then the same guy scores again. It was right after the power play ended. So they're in a matter of 30 seconds or so, their 2-0 lead goes to 2-2 tie, and they're on the power play.
Yeah.
So that's just in hockey. Those are just devastating goals to give up on the road. And I've been to San Jose, Frank, numerous times, and during the playoffs, that is the loudest building in the NHL. It just is incredibly loud and hostile. The way they bounce back and to be sitting here now and saying they won that game is just, it's remarkable.
Let's break some of this down. Let's begin with the guy who has been their hero throughout the postseason from an offensive point of view, Jaden Schwartz. Let's take a listen.
Over to play the puck. Back for Tarasenko. Shot was blocked. Schwartz with it. He scores! Jaden Schwartz, just 2 minutes, 34 seconds in.
You know, it's definitely the funnest time of the year. And I had some struggles earlier that I haven't really had before. But, you know, once playoff starts, it's, I don't know, I just embrace the games, have fun with it. And I don't really try to think too much about it, just to approach each game the same way and try help the team any way I can. And that's kind of what I'm focused on.
An 11-goal regular season, a 9-goal postseason. And we all knew, you know, the guy is really gifted. He's had 3 seasons of 24 or more goals. He just has this swagger right now that he didn't have at all during the regular season. In the regular season, Dan, there were times he was 7 feet away, he wouldn't shoot the puck. Now he's just letting it fly.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it is it's you know, your first thought is, you know, where have you been? But it's really, in the big picture, it's a great thing to see, because I was beginning to wonder if, you know, if he would ever come out of that. If Jaden Schwartz would go from a, you know, top line type player to more of a third or fourth line, you know, energy guy, which he can do. I mean, he is that. But he's been a guy who also scores 28 goals. So, you know, sometimes players never come out of that. You remember Brad Boyes scored 43 goals here one season. He never even approached that later in his career. And sometimes players, they don't come out of that. And he's come out of it in a huge way and at the best possible time, because they're not getting really any goal scoring from their really top guys other than Schwartz. I mean, Tarasenko, I think, has not scored 5-on-5. Shen, I don't even know if he has a goal in the playoffs. He might have one. And Ryan O'Reilly just hasn't been the same player for whatever reason. He did score a goal in game one, but I don't think he had a goal in the entire Dallas series. So they really need it. I don't know where they would be done playing if Schwartz wasn't doing this.
Then we have the Robert Bortuzzo moment, a man who has never scored a postseason goal, who would not be in the lineup if it were not for the injury to Carl Gunnarsson. And he has a backdoor moment where he beats the great Joe Thornton. Let's take a listen.
Drops it off, Edmondson, now to Bortuzzo, backhand shot, he scores! Robert Bortuzzo gives the Blues a 3-2 lead with his first career postseason goal.
You know, it's something you know, it's not really my game, but, you know, it's definitely something that goes in the back of your mind. And, you know, I think Jaden will remember, I told him, if I do score a playoff goal, you're going to like the celebration. And, you know, you never can plan what you're going to do. And like I said, it was just a rush of emotion. It's an intense game out there, as everyone knows. And that's all it is an emotion coming to the surface.
And it really was, Dan, a spectacular goal. It wasn't just a goal. It was a nifty little backhand to beat Martin Jones.
Well, the amazing thing about it is right before that, Robert Thomas had a great chance. You know, broke in basically alone. It was a 2-on-1, and he kept the puck. And he didn't score, and I was talking to somebody, and I said, you know, Robert Thomas is such a talent and does so many great things. But the one thing he hasn't really gotten to yet is finishing.
Yeah.
If he was more of a finisher, he probably would have scored 30 goals during the season. But, you know, he's young. He's only 19 years old, so that's just a part of his game that hasn't quite caught up with the rest. But, you know, he has that great chance, this really gifted offensive player. And then moments later, a guy like Robert Bortuzzo gets a chance and scores with that shot. It's just funny how the contrast there.
Jordan Binnington saw 26 shots. He made 24 saves. Here's the coach on his goaltender.
Well, he's done it all year. You know, he's always bounced back after a loss. Going back to a game we had in L.A., I believe we lost that game. I threw him in the game against Anaheim, won the game. I mean, that was kind of the first test, I thought. But every time that's happened, he's responded really well.
What about the unflappable one, Jordan Binnington?
Well, I thought he kept him in it early. You know, he did what you want a goaltender to do, which is give you a chance to win a game, especially in a game that you're not playing especially well or the other team is surging or whatever, however you want to put it. But early in the game, he made some great saves and kept it. I mean, it was remarkable that the Blues were leading that game 1-0 after the first period. So that was largely due to Binnington. And, you know, he continued to make big saves. If you remember, he made back-to-back saves on a deflection late in the game. When San Jose was pressing to try to make it 4-3, he made two big saves. I don't think he really even saw him. One of them hit him in the face mask, the other in the shoulder. But he was there in position and made the save. So he's just been terrific. Again, like we were talking about Schwartz, the Blues wouldn't still be playing if it wasn't for Binnington.
How about some perspective? A long time ago I brought up the Kurt Warner comparison. I'm certainly not saying that Jordan Binnington is headed to the Hall of Fame and going to be an MVP, but to start the list, start the season number four, to be a little bit older at 25, to kind of come out of nowhere, I mean, and to basically save your franchise, there's a similarity there.
Yeah, it's just I don't ever, you know, goaltenders, they have great, they're sort of like, I don't know, they can be like pitchers, you know, they can have a really good period and then a not so great period. So I don't know, you know, the reason you think that he's going to continue this is because of his demeanor and the way he approaches things, which is just nothing seems to bother him. He doesn't make a big deal out of anything. He's not overly impressed with himself. And he's just the other thing is he's a very he plays a very steady game. I mean, he doesn't play a super athletic game where he's making spectacular saves and flying all over the place, but he's just very fundamentally sound. He's got a really good glove hand. So that makes you think that he's going to be a pretty good goaltender for years to come.
The only dent in the Blues' armor right now is the power play situation. 0 for 5 last night, 0 for their last 18, 2 for 28 in the postseason. Here's the coach on the power play.
We gave up a shorthanded goal. It's just you got to make a better play. I mean, and then they score again. We're coming out of the box. We turn it over at the blue line. It's just a couple of mistakes. I mean, yes, the power play overall, it's it can be frustrating, but the key is I do not believe that it frustrated our team, and it can't. It can't let it happen. They have a great penalty kill over there. They've had a real good penalty kill for years. They pressure hard, and it's difficult to get any real good looks. I mean, that's going to happen, but we have to do a better job of making plays and making the right decisions with the puck. But the key was we didn't let it frustrate us. We kept playing, and we ended up with a win. So that's what I'm concerned about right now.
You know, for kind of a gruff exterior, he certainly seems more like, you know, Norman Vincent Peale than Debbie Downer. I mean, he always sees something really positive in everything, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he's what I get from Berube is he just is very direct, very simple. It's not real complicated.
Yeah.
Doesn't make too much out of things, doesn't overanalyze things. You know, he accepts hockey for what he's played a lot of hockey, been in a lot of situations. Seen it all, I guess. So he accepts that things happen in the game, and that's part of the game. And like he just talked about, the best thing was that the Blues didn't get frustrated. They just went on from there. But, my God, you know, just forget about scoring. Just don't get scored on during the power play, you know? I mean,
can you decline a power play?
That was the one thing they couldn't afford to do at that point in the game was give up a goal. I mean, they got a 2-0 lead. You know, they're in good shape. They're on the power play. You know, if you don't score, okay. But don't give them you know, shorthanded goals are such emotional turnarounds. It's just the last thing in the world you want to do. And, again, as I said at the start, for them to give up those two goals, and the second one was essentially a second shorthanded goal. It wasn't much different. It's just amazing they weathered that storm and came back.
And when you see, like, Logan Couture do that, and then you know they have four 30-goal scorers, and yet you know they have two Norris Trophy-winning defensemen. Let me put it this way. Yesterday at this time, 24 hours ago, after that game one, did you have a pretty good feel, hey, Blues are going to win this game and they'll be right back in it? Or were you really concerned, boy, San Jose is scary good?
No, I wasn't super concerned. I mean, I'm concerned to begin with before it starts that San Jose is super good.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, they've got size. They've got speed. That's why they're so tough on penalty kills. They're big and fast. They got two of the best defensemen, offensive defensemen in the league. But they're not the greatest, frankly, they're not the greatest defensive team in the league. So, yeah, you know, I mean, you're concerned that on paper they're a better team, but it's not always about on paper. So I wasn't overly concerned by the first game because I thought the Blues played a somewhat uncharacteristic game. And I felt like because of, as we've talked, their resilience, I felt like they'd bounce back and play a much better game last night. It's not like I predicted they would win, but the kind of game they played over the last 30 minutes of that game, that's their game. You know, they swarm, they work like crazy in the offensive end. They keep the puck in the offensive end. They wear teams down. They swarm, you know, they back check like crazy. So all these breakaways and two-on-ones and stuff they were giving up in game one, I just didn't think that would continue to happen. And if it does, it's not going to be a very long series.
They went over 16 minutes without getting a shot on goal, which really speaks to the Blues' hustle last night. Now, in terms of the power play, I mentioned this to Chris Kerber yesterday. Why doesn't Cole Parayko just shoot it more? Why not put him out there, make him the feature? And then he told the story about Al MacInnis's rookie season in Calgary where the coach got the power play unit in a room and he said, look, if you want to be on the power play, you have to understand he shoots the puck. You pass him the puck. I wonder if that could be an idea. Or what if you're Craig Berube now and you are 2-for-28, what would you do?
Well, if you're asking me, Parayko would be on the number one power play unit, not the second unit. And I like what they did last night, which was to put Vince Dunn on the other point and have – I just assume – it's silly to say this because they scored a shorthanded goal, but because of that and because of how explosive San Jose is and because they have a defenseman like Vince Dunn who can handle the puck like a forward, I just assumed they would have two defensemen on the point rather than one defenseman and four forwards out there. But, you know, that's fine to tell the Al MacInnis story, and that's true. And Al actually used to sometimes shoot the puck and waste one on hitting somebody just to put the fear of God into him. But, you know, for the most part during Al's career, they didn't block shots like they do now. He didn't have four bodies in front of him that you're trying to get your shot through. I mean, the game's changed, and everybody blocks shots, and everybody dives in front of a shot. And so it's really difficult to get a shot through.
You're right.
And a lot of times, you know, there's two things at work. It's hard to get your shot through, and the last thing in the world you want to do is have your shot blocked and have it going the other way.
That's true.
So you have to be very careful. So I think, you know, Parayko, when he sees a lane, shoots it. I mean, hit the crossbar last night. I think hit the bar twice. A lot of times there's just, you know, you're trying to find a needle in a haystack there, trying to find a shot from the point.
All right. Well, one more thought. I wonder if this is a way Blues fans could feel really good about this day, is that you're 1-1 in the series, and you're going back home where, oh, by the way, the Sharks are really bad on the road, and this is how you're 1-1. Your best defenseman has just gift-wrapped 2 goals and played really rough, and your best player hasn't done a thing yet, although Vladimir Tarasenko had 8 shots last night, still nothing to show for it. And you're 1-1, you got to believe that those two are going to get better.
Well, you got to you want to believe that, but I mean, Frank, you know, at this point, I'm not sure that 55 isn't their top defenseman. But
it gets provocative thought. I wouldn't argue it.
That's not to disparage anyone else. It's just 55's just been terrific and a tower of strength on defense. And really, you would hope that Tarasenko would get going. Yeah, I mean, it's like the game he played last night. He really wasn't. A few shifts, he was pretty involved, but otherwise, he's got to get some shots. He's their top sniper, and O'Reilly hasn't been this for whatever reason. O'Reilly just doesn't seem to be the same player. He's not winning faceoffs like he did.
He did win one on a goal though.
He's won some big faceoffs, and he won some big faceoffs in Game 7 against Dallas, but. I think whatever, I don't know if it's fatigue or whatever, but he's kind of struggling. And Shen is supposed to be one of their top scorers, and he hasn't really done a whole lot. So, yeah, you would hope they'd break out, and if they do, that maybe they get hot for a few games. That would certainly help.
All right, let's take a short time out. We're broadcasting live from Maggie O'Brien's. Dan's got a great baseball book out, which is ideal for Father's Day. We'll talk about that and the Cardinals and some more Blues conversation. Do want to tell you our opening monologue is brought to you by our good friends at Worldwide Technology Raceway. It's the only track in America that's going to have an IndyCar race, a NASCAR race, and an NHRA event. It is really one of the great track stories in the country. Curtis Francois has done an unbelievable job. Go to their website, find out more information about what they have coming up this summer. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.